Hey everybody, welcome to this session on Track 3, One Company, One Voice, Transforming Your Workforce. For all of those who've been here, you'll know I go through the same logistics again, but the hashtag is JW10. The only reason any of the jivers in the room are on their phone or on their iPads is because we're tweeting about the sessions. So, you know, that's the only reason you should be on your phone or on your computer or on your iPad. So JW10 hashtag, I request to just be really courteous to these presenters because they've come a long way to present here, and we haven't paid them to do so. So, you know, please be courteous about that. We have Andreas Meyer from Swiss Re, and he is a consultant at Swiss Re, and he's come all the way from Zurich just for this presentation. He's going to be talking about, I think, one of the most unique sessions on this track, which is really global collaboration. And he's going to talk about Swiss Re's journey towards engaging global teams. So with that, I'll give it up for Andreas.
Thank you, Namrata. Thank you for making my life a lot harder, I guess, by raising all these expectations. Anyhow, welcome to the session. I've attended a few of these sessions, and they're really all of high quality. I know a lot of great people are sitting out in the audience, a lot of experienced people, so I feel really honored to be part of this track and to present here in front of you what Swiss Re does in the area of collaboration and has been doing for the last 1.5 years or so. So when I put my slide deck together, I ask myself, what is it going to be that provides the most value to you? And I came up that I wanted to put emphasis on two main things. First of all, as Namrata said, what does it mean to jive globally, meaning collaborate in a global environment all around the world? And secondly, really, in the second half of the presentation, show you many real-time examples, real-life examples that we see happening on our platform, being 1 year into a global rollout now. I joined Swiss Re roughly 3 years ago, and that's kind of when it started with collaboration initiatives and expertise search and all these kind of things. So I've been lucky being on a lot of these kind of different initiatives, and you see the words up here. It's all these things that we've been talking these 2 days. Search, collaboration, social business software, that's a lot of the things that we've done in the past time. And it's not just me. There is a team of people who've done that. And for the ones who are missing, Wolfgang Jastrowski, who is mentioned as presenter on this track as well. He's sitting here in the audience. He had his turn yesterday, today it's on me. I'd like to start with a slide. It's kind of the official corporate about the Swiss Re slide. Swiss Re is a company doing reinsurance, and probably many of you don't know what that means. It means we do insurance for insurances. And you see a lot of numbers on the slide, a lot of facts, all the stuff that you would find in the annual report. And that's definitely one slide that kind of official corporate communication wants you to put up there, which I like more or less. I like the fact that it gives kind of a good example of the official Swiss Re, kind of how we want to present ourselves. However, I think there is another Swiss Re. To me, Swiss Re is also a lot around collaboration, and let me give you a little bit more details on that. Swiss Re obviously is all around risks. So our company identifies risks and evaluates them, eventually takes risks. We do also a lot of education and consulting on risks, be it for our own employees, be it for our partners and customers. So it's all this business that we do, and organized in kind of client markets, products, and underwriting, and all these different functions, but even more organized around key topics. So things that you would find would be kind of natural catastrophes, terrorisms, pandemics, all these keywords that our people work around a lot and collaborate a lot about in virtual teams and all around the globe. And that to me is really a lot about not the official part of Swiss Re, but what's happening in daily business. And therefore, collaboration has not been, it's not something really new that we invented, that has been taking place for quite some time. So there is the saying that Swiss Re is the house of 1,000 experts, which probably is true. Imagine all these keywords, there are a lot of specialists and probably most of the brightest people in the world around these topics working in our company. And they're working also on collaboration tools that they know, for example, a web-based conferencing, like document management and document sharing, and all these kind of things. So there has been the foundation and the underlying of being collaborative, also with mottos like players want to win and these kind of things. What we wanted to make different is really to turn the collaboration as it existed, the document-centric or people-centric, expert-centric collaboration, into a new form of being community-centric and collaborative in teams. And that's really when we started the kind of main shift that we wanted the company to take. So as a next, I'm going to walk you through and introduce you to our space, talk a lot about what we did for the project and how we did that, and put the emphasis in the second half of showing examples that we see now 1 year into the project. That's our space, and I'm not going to go into kind of functional details because I'm sure to everybody sitting here, at least today, noon, second day of the conference, this looks familiar to everybody. But giving you a little bit of the cornerstones, well, the name, obviously, of our Jive instance is OurSpace. And we figured it's very important to brand what we did from the very beginning. Doesn't even matter so much how you brand it, but give it a name so people will remember once they've been there and once they come back, they know, that's OurSpace, right, I've been here before. So these kind of things, that's one thing that's really important. So more things that are important around the platform is it's purely internal. So we started collaborating internally because we thought we would like to learn first internally and see what we do, and then, if it works out, maybe expand it and do that with clients, with partners, and so on and so forth. But having said, only internal means everybody at Swiss Re has access to the platform. It's been implemented globally in all the locations, in all the global functions that we have. And we didn't want to exclude anybody. That was really important to us. Another very important principle was the principle of self-service. So there was not any approval process or asking for permission to go there. It was there, and everybody had access from the beginning and could go in and say, well, create new group, and then it was there, and then it was ready to work with it. So when we started, and probably Devin Batavia sitting in here as well will remember, that was like 1.5 years ago and was still on the platform called ClearSpace, and we've moved from there. And I'm proud to say that we're being quite early adopters on what Jive does and going through this way along all the evolvement of what's happening. I mentioned before, it's kind of a good coincidence because we do have a celebration pretty soon in front of us. At the end of September, our space will be will have 1 year's anniversary. So once I'm going back, I will have a lot of fun work to do, electing awards for the best our space community and these kind of things. So we would like to do two things. First of all, celebrate doing also some games and reemphasize that our space is there. It's been there for 1 year already. And kind of also showing people, well, work can be fun. And on the other hand, collecting good examples of what has happened on our space. We see a lot, but we would like to kind of more formally collect some stuff that's going on there in order to have good use cases and good business examples. So these kind of two goals we would like to achieve with this 1 year anniversary event. And 1 year is also kind of interesting, and maybe as a side note, you see that the kind of new banner that we will give our space for a month, the confettis and the like, so nobody will miss it, I'm sure. The other interesting fact about being 1 year into the global rollout now is that we do have like numbers from the first years ready. When we started with the project, that was really one of the main issues that we came across over and over again. Benchmarking these kind of things is really difficult because there's simply not too many companies out there that you can benchmark yourself with. And I mean, having conferences like this and having a lot of people talking to each other and exchanging experiences and having a lot of companies moving towards this direction helps a lot. But I still think that's probably something that's still missing, kind of benchmarking of numbers. It's hard to say, well, 85%, that's really brilliant, or it's, yeah, that's kind of average. That's something that we should improve on. We just don't know. We just have our numbers. And they are based on this concept that you might know, the Forrester Social Technographics Ladder, kind of saying how many creators, joiners, spectators, and so on you have. And we adopted this one and started to measure, well, first of all, how many people are actively creating stuff in our space? And creating meaning creating new documents, creating or starting new discussions, not even replying to discussions, but really creating new threads. And secondly then, well, who replies to things in our space or comments or does all this kind of interaction? And it goes on, and well, I think we can be pretty proud of saying that 85% of all people working at Swiss Re have already accessed our space. And well, even if they only go in there and read for one time and hopefully come back another time and keep on reading and maybe then after a while start contributing, but that's pretty amazing, specifically talking about a company which culture is rather kind of a lot, having a lot of people being a little bit timid about exposing themselves. I guess we are very happy with what we see here, and the numbers at the bottom of the page, kind of the clicks and the views. It's really amazing that within the first year, our space has outperformed our intranet in terms of clicks we have on it, and I mean that to us was pretty amazing too. So that's kind of status today, really, where we are. But let's go 1 year back in time and talk a little bit about the project that we implemented. And it started all with a mandate that we got from our top management saying, well, do something in this area of tool-based collaboration. I think we should improve there. And we're like, okay. So where do we start? And we started by conducting a survey internally talking to a lot of people, interviewing them, and also surveying them and ask them, well, what are your needs? What do you want us to come up with? And the needs we structured in kind of four areas. People told us our business has become more complex. In earlier days, we had a lot of standard products that we customized a little bit and then pushed out to our clients. Now, people want, our clients want tailored solutions. What's obvious and in the press every day, I guess, is that market and legislation and kind of the governance aspect, specifically in the financial market, that's a huge thing. And reading in the press this week, that's going to increase even more. Doesn't make daily business life easier, definitely not. Then another aspect, and specifically since the financial crisis, we also know it's been a lot of focus on cost. It's really hard to spend a lot of money on something, and you have to explain a lot why you should do that. And last but not least, it's a global world. Big companies are global, so our teams, they are dispersed all over the world. They are virtually working together in all the locations, and as I said, with the cost cutting, so it's harder to travel, but still you have to work in these teams. So people wanted us to give them something to support them in this area. And that slide has probably been the most challenging one for me by putting all this stuff together, because when we did our strategy, that was like 200-300 slides at least, presenting them to top management and all different kinds of people. And I tried to kind of condense that in one, which was really hard, believe me. So the top story, I think you can see on the upper line. We wanted to move from a one-point collaboration, kind of people-centric collaboration, as I said before, to a community-centric collaboration. And what does that mean, basically? I like to give the example of how does an account manager work, or how did he used to work and sometimes still works. He or she has his team. So there are a lot of people. There are a lot of people in the team of an account manager working for him, pulling numbers together, pulling quotes together. The account manager goes to the account manager of the other company, figures stuff out. The other company has also an account team working for the account manager. That's kind of the current way, or the old way of how things work. And we definitely knew we would like to have this work differently in a multi-point collaboration, meaning that these people, they should work directly with each other, the expert on one side, working directly with the expert on the other side, figuring things out, which then meant that the account manager or the manager or just the responsible needed a means of coordinating and orchestrating that. And that's really when then the platform came in place. And what we promised our management was the five bullets that I have displayed at the bottom, and probably from the back it's a little bit low, so I'll read it out. It says, we wanted to better support virtual teamwork. We would like to boost information sharing across functions. We would like to accelerate responsiveness and agility for our company. We would like to advance innovation and solution creation. And last but not least, it was also about ingraining transparent and virtual collaboration culture. So the cultural aspect was really important to us as well. And remember these three pictures that I structured the strategy promises in, because I would like to show you in just a little bit examples of how the communities that we see on our space tackle these promises and what we see in this respect. We knew that in order to be successful and in order to really provide the highest value to our company with what we did, we couldn't do it just for one department or just for one location. We knew in the beginning it had to be global in order to really have all the network effects that we wanted to see. and provide the most value. So that's kind of the motto that we chose for it. And it goes very well along with jiving globally. So we really wanted to have this around the world for everybody accessible. As I said, the project took roughly 1 or 1.5 years, depending on how you measure it. But having it kind of in a nutshell, in one sentence, I always like to give it as follows. Our project strategy was really think big, start small, move fast. So to think big, really have a strategy in place, so know where you're going, see the big picture, and secondly, have top management involvement and engagement in place, if however possible. The start small was really when it came to evaluating and choosing a collaboration platform. We knew we couldn't do something with a huge budget and a huge decision process and a large IT footprint, something really complicating. We knew it had to be pretty simple and moving fast forward so we could cope with the needs and the going forward with with this project. And last but not least, move fast. Two things which were really important to us was usability and so self-service. So people should be able to go in there and understand from the beginning what it was all about and use it themselves. We didn't have the budget nor the people to do a world tour and explain to everybody and have training sessions and education material provided. This part really needed to come from the platform straight away. Otherwise, we wouldn't have any chance to roll this out in an acceptable pace. And at the bottom, you then see the staged approach that we took. So we started with a proof of concept, around 25 people, and basically IT kind of testing the platform and figuring out whether it fits in our architecture and is integrated in the landscape that we have. And then we started with a pilot phase that was roughly 500 people and planned groups that we chose. These groups, we knew they were already there, but they looked for something that for some support for their community, or they approached us and asking us for help by doing something with their team, and all these kind of examples. And we collected them and told them, well, why don't you try this out? Why don't you just start with an hour space community? We knew there was some risk because it was just a pilot. So it could have been the pilot stops and they had to look for something else. But most of them, they said, well, why not trying it out? I mean, it's really worth it. And these pilot communities helped us a lot. And the people, the owners of these pilot communities specifically, we call them advocates. So they helped us a lot then in pulling up the global rollout. And interestingly enough, we started in the pilot phase with around 500 users, but we couldn't cope with it because one group, they were working with another group, so the other group wanted to be there too, and they had some colleagues over there who they wanted to be part of another group, and it grew up and up. And at the end of the pilot, we were just at the stage with around like 1,500 users, where it was, well, now or never. So either we open it up for everybody or we stop it immediately because we didn't want waste more people's time. And that was kind of a good experience as well and also good proof to our management to go on with that. Oh, right.
You managed as a change management project. Did you have like HR outlet? How did you manage that?
The questions around change. So I think how I like to put this is really choosing a simple form of project, a simple or low profile IT environment, and making it not too complicating, that really helped us to focus on what is most important, which is the change aspect of the project. And the next slide is just going to be about that. So yesterday I heard a metaphor saying to steer a large or to change a large company, it's like trying to steer the Titanic. I like that very much. I've chosen another picture, but the meaning is the same. Probably everybody in here knows how difficult it really is to change daily behavior, and even more in groups for companies. Changing culture is really difficult, and we knew we had to put a lot of emphasis on that. And at the bottom, I just drew a regular change management cycle that you would find in every school book. So it's about leading the change, creating a shared need, shaping a vision, mobilizing commitment, making the change last and in the end, and making the or monitoring the progress. So kind of this or similar ways you would find it everywhere. And I just listed the different or various steps that we've taken along these change management processes or along these change management process steps to support the change that we wanted to see in our company. It starts a lot with having a strong business sponsorship. And we involved top management from the beginning and told them, well, listen, you would like to see certain kind of changed behavior. And that's what we can offer to you, as I said, these five bullets. But there's also risks involved. So you have to let go to a certain degree. This change means that you cannot control as much as you're used to. And there were some really interesting discussions, and in the end, management said, well, okay, let's go for it. Let's try it out. The business need piece, that's also not the first session that talks about that, but I think it's really, really important. It shouldn't be just an additional platform. It shouldn't be, we do this or we do that. It should be around really things that happen in daily business processes. And we've chosen really carefully from the beginning the kind of examples that we chose. So we didn't want to see just kind of the tennis club and the chess club and all these kind of things on the platform. We chose communities around clients, for example, or we chose communities around innovating on a product, and we chose communities around leadership development. These kind of things we really chose. It's probably interesting to say as well that we almost explicitly excluded IT from all these pilot groups. They had a few little ones, but we knew that IT would jump on something like this right away, and probably in the end what you would see was like development and implementation and all these kind of things, but we wanted to have it business from the beginning. And then we threw the product out there and kind of gave it out and said, well, let's see what happens. And it was amazing, honestly. I mean, there were so many, we kind of planned for these business use cases, and a few of them came true. But even more though, there were so many other cases that we haven't even thought of that people then did on our platform. And that was really amazing to see. So we wanted to have it open from the beginning, and then people could kind of choose what they needed for their business at that specific time. I talked a little bit about the advocates. So they helped us really spreading the word when we went global, and it was in the beginning really about inspiring them, a lot of educating them, and also kind of catering and nurturing them. So we had a community specifically for these advocates that it was called the Group Owners Group, and still is, by the way. So that's where we kind of give out pieces of information that not everybody knows yet. for the advocates, it was always important to be ahead of the other people so they could really act as advocates and educate the others. And that's probably an important takeaway that we had here. Now I think we're really in the middle of the phases, kind of still keeping on educating a lot of people about what is possible on a collaboration platform, plus sharing use cases and benchmark with others. And that's one of the most important reasons why we are here, to talk to others what they do, and to try and benchmark ourselves. There has, though, already been quite some material produced on this. And yes, of course, we do like a lot when people talk around what all great things Swiss Re has done and how advanced they are in the space of collaboration and all these kind of things. But I didn't really put this slide in to impress you, but rather first to give you some sources where to find more information. And secondly, these things, they helped us a lot because it is very convincing material. Unfortunately, when you go to top executives and top management and talk to them about what great things your project team does and has been developing, usually top executives don't listen that much. But if you talk to them about Gartner case studies or Forrester case studies and all these kind of things, then you really catch their attention. And that's exactly the reason why we put a lot of effort also in creating this kind of external material, because it helps us then internally to convince the people about that we are on the right way, actually. So let's go a little bit more into what community examples do we see. And as I said before, I would like to structure it in these kind of three pillars that we promised in the strategy we were going to tackle and show you what we really see in these three areas. So about sharing information across locations and functions, there was a really great example already in the beginning when we talked to a lot of people about what we intended to do with this Our Space platform. So we were a little bit afraid of kind of people in small locations telling us, not again a platform that's rolled out from the centralized headquarters in Zurich and we then have to do stuff on there. And it was actually rather the opposite. People told us two things. This is great because finally we know what's being discussed in Zurich. And we know a lot more what's going on in other locations around the world. And they told us, well, this is great also because we can speak up and finally have a platform where we get heard and where we can make ourselves visible to the others, to the big locations. And that was, to me, really interesting and a very good example to carry forward. The group that I did the screenshot with is called the Sonar Group. And the Sonar Group is also something that's already been existing quite some time in Swiss Re. Sonar Group was a lot about collecting risk notions. So what they basically do is, with all our people that we have around the world attending conferences, reading materials, speaking to other people, they come across a lot of topics, questions, comments, and sometimes they think, oh, that might be something that could be interesting for Swiss Re, or it could become a risk, or that's really something that we should keep up with in the future because it could become a large issue for us sometimes. And they collect this, and they did that with a kind of mailbox that they had early on and promised they would go back to you and follow up within 24 hours. Now they have their group. It's a public group, and people can still kind of open a discussion and say, well, have you heard about what's going on there and here? And they see then what's other people, not just kind of the Sonar core team, is following up with. And they see where the topic is going and all the other interaction that is going around. And it's not just about this discussion that is happening. It's also a centralized point for a lot of information the Sonar team publishes to others. So you can have regular information updates about certain things. The group includes feeds from external sources and makes this kind of a dashboard to go and where it's really all about the information sharing around these kind of important risk notion topics. So I think that's really an example of where we can see additional value that people see in our platform. A second example or several second examples are all around accelerated responsiveness, all around discussing globally on our space. And that starts with simple things, people asking, do we have this in French? Where is the link to whatever source? Kind of the everyday questions. But it goes on to much more sophisticated and more complicated questions. A good example I always think is the account manager of a company asking around in his account team and saying, well, I'm meeting the CEO of company Z next week. So you account team, give me topics, give me questions. What should I cover with the CEO from company X? And obviously, I mean, that's been done in the past as well, probably mostly through email, through telephone calls. And that's usually done just in the account team. That's people that were already working together that knew each other. I think the great additional value that's now with the platform is really you can reach out also to people who you didn't even know knew something about this topic. In this specific example that I gave, for example, there was this person speaking up saying, well, I'm not at your account team, and probably you don't even know me, but you know what? I've joined Swiss Re just 2 months ago, and I've been working with your client. So that's probably the two, three things that you should take away and also mention. And these kind of examples, I think they cannot show enough the value that such a platform can bring. And last but not least, a real-life example, as you can see. I mean, it's kind of neutralized a little bit. But there was a discussion going on around, well, I'm leading this initiative. Can we please brainstorm? Give me ideas. Help me out here. And then it went on and on and on for 1 or 2 meters. And suddenly somebody saying, well, you know what? We've done an identical initiative last year. Why don't we just connect? We can share material. I can help you out. That's all been done. So the House of 1,000 Experts means also that probably most of the questions that we can raise in a daily life's business, they have been answered somewhere. You just have to kind of connect to the right people and find these pieces of information. So asking for where does really the value come, I think giving and I was listening to Andrew McAfee in the morning and couldn't agree more to him. I mean, it's really hard to put a figure down there, but I think the most striking thing we can do is collecting these kinds of examples and showing them to others. I personally feel that's really convincing. Last but not least, culture. I feel, and you see, I like Wordle, so. I feel there is also kind of a shift going on in the company, which I find very interesting. Specifically when it comes to discussions, what's typical at our company is really that I discuss with my manager, he or she discusses with the other manager, it goes up, it goes down at the in another department, the answer comes back the same way. And you all know there's a lot of filters in all of these people talking to other people with their different mindsets. I think one of the most fundamental changes that's going on currently is that everybody discusses with everybody, specifically with topics like cost or how are we recognized in Swiss Re? What does diversity mean to us? All these kind of things, top executives, middle management, everybody discusses with each other, and there is no filter implied anymore. And I also think that's very important and interesting to see. In addition, we see also kind of this crowdsourcing phenomenon happen. For example, we do have the leadership communities. That's a program that certain selected people can take part in every year. So newly, these people, they have now a group. And these groups, well, of course, they have their sessions, their courses, and that they take place with. But the group doesn't just come together for their classes and then go off. They have their groups that they are within during the whole year. And top management even sometimes throws tasks to them and say, well, we would like to know, you're kind of our next generation executives, so we would like to solve a certain problem, or we would like to answer a certain question. And I think that's probably also a very good example of how to collect highly valuable information within a company with groups that they have been there before, but now it's much more tangible and they can keep up with each other at any time and not just when they meet. So that's kind of the main examples that I wanted to share with you and talk to you about where we see the value or where we have seen the value of the main value of our platform within the last half year. And probably the most important points I could give you as recommendations are the following 5 points. The kind of think big, start small, move fast. Strive for long-term objectives. Don't just try something out and fail and try something else, but have a clear strategy in mind where you really want to go with what you do. But then take phases and kind of digestible steps for everybody, because, as I said, that's change, so people don't really want to do that too heavily at once. I think this approach has worked really, really well for us. Secondly, it's business, 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 business. I can't emphasize enough, specifically in order to make this a global thing, top management and top executives need to be convinced, and they only will be if they see it does serve a business purpose and it's not just for the sake of playing or for the sake of having fun. Choose well the business cases that you select. You as a core group or project group, you cannot really know all the business cases that are out there. That's just not possible. And that's really when the advocates come in place. You need levers that help you spread the word and help the kind of viral adoption to really take place. So I strongly suggest to you have advocates in all your locations, in all your business functions, wherever you think it's really important to have them. Try and choose people who are in favor of these kind of things. And we really found, like, all over the place, we found these people who were very much enthusiastic about what we did and who wanted to be part. So choose these people and make them your advocates and make them spread the word for you. Engage early and bravely. So don't try to kind of hidden in a corner, build this up, and suddenly it's there, and everybody is stunned that there's something new there suddenly. Talk to everybody who you might think could be important. That's legal departments, that's top executives, all these kind of bodies. Involve them early, and you will find maybe that's a tough discussion in the beginning, but after a while, this can become really helpful for you. Last but not least, as I said, don't try not to focus on technology too much. That's just kind of the first part until you've implemented something. But the much bigger part of it is really, it is a change of your organization. It is a change of everybody's working behavior. And the adoption won't take place until people have realized that in every piece of the of your company. And having that said, it's not like a project that you can have and then turn off and forget and shoot out and focus on the next thing. That's really something that's ongoing. So I would like to close with saying, well, there's definitely no time to lean back for us, and probably not for you. There's a lot of things that we can do and that we should do. And with that said, I would like to thank you very much for your time and attention and open up the last 10 minutes for any questions that you might have.
Victor's at the back there as well with a mic if anybody else wants.
My question is around language. You're obviously a global company. What kind of guidelines did you give people in terms of content being in English or, you know, German, whatever? How did you resolve that?
Well, maybe two things. First of all, we were really fortunate because we do have one corporate language, which is English, which means that the rollout of the platform, we did purely in English. All the menus, everything that belongs to the Jive implementation is purely English. But all the rest is open. So you will find Asian communities writing in letters that I don't even know what they are. It's really funny to watch somehow. Of course, if you would like to do something that's interesting to everybody, you would have to do that in English, so the others understand. But if you have your closed community with a few people that speak your language, we left it really up to the communities to choose whatever they felt comfortable with.
There's a question right here.
Sure.
Yeah, in terms of the time that people spend on emails, has that gone down? Is this real addition in terms of efficiency?
We don't really measure it, to be very honest with you. But there is probably two things, or one major thing that I would say around email. It can feel, for a lot of people, like emails don't go down or they go even up, because it can happen that you receive a lot of notifications about what's going on the platform. There, we really do a lot of education in telling people how to manage this kind of notification. We find that very important. But we tell people that the emails that you get now, they are of a different quality than the emails that you got before. The emails that you got before, they were content emails that were things that you had to read and to react upon. So the emails that you get now is just like, there's something going on the platform, here is the link. And then you go on the platform and read what's going on there. So the content has moved out of the email to the platform. And probably a second aspect of the emails are, we didn't want to kind of turn these things off, because currently that's the only way how we could have the mobile interaction with the platform. So for certain people, it's even valuable to get all this information via email, because that's just the only thing they access in their daily life. That's kind of what I have to say around email.
You had mentioned that this is a change in behavior, and so there's a resistance to change. So if you found senior management, middle management, or the users the most resistant, and how have you kind of approached getting them to move a little bit into the change?
Well, to one of your questions, it's like, no, I don't think there's a specific part of people who is more resistant than others or takes it up more than others. I personally think it's really about the business purpose, and you would find people who adopt our space heavily in top management, in all the different hierarchy levels, in all the locations. You would also find people who say, well, I don't want to use it. I don't see any value in it, in all these hierarchy levels. I don't think it really depends. Well, neither on age nor on hierarchy level. I think it really matters whether you see a support for your daily business in what's going on the platform. And if you do, you will take it on, and because it helps you in your daily work. If you don't, well, it's still optional, so we don't push everybody to go there.
You spoke about business use cases and the importance of specifying those cases before you deploy. Did you work on high-level use cases, like being able to connect, asking questions, or did you have to work with many different departments and go at a granular level in specific details that this is how you do a certain piece of work today and this is how you're going to do it tomorrow, along with the executive sponsorship and top-down mandate?
Actually, both. So we started exactly the way that you described, kind of drawing these high-level cases that we saw. Also, a lot of them included in kind of these high-level bullets that I gave you. And then I think the next step was really to going out to these business groups or the business advocates and helping them, or they helped us then really translate the high-level bullets into their daily work. It's difficult, I think, or not possible to do this, like the same case for the whole company, because you would find that underwriting is very much different from client markets or from innovating products. So we cannot really say, listen, guys, that's the case. We have the high-level ideas on how such a platform can help in business, but then the real translation into business processes that I believe has to be done, well, either by people who understand the business really, really well, or by people who are working in the lines.
Okay. There's one more question on the back.
Andreas, I guess I have two questions, but you can choose to only answer one of them. the first one is sort of, I'm always struck by the contrast between, I don't know whether you listen to the EMC presentation and your presentation. It's this attempt to draw a very sharp line between what is business and what is social. And you mentioned in, you know, to play back some of your words, some of the use cases are so surprising that it would be foolish to actually predict all of them. And I think that is, you know, one of those areas where I'm not quite sure on what part of that spectrum I should actually come out. So how social is whatever a global community platform in Swiss Re, you know, how social actually is it? So that's one question. The other one is, I'm sort of in a similar business, or some of the aspects that we deal with are very similar to what Swiss Re does. How does your business Jive platform connect with some of the more statutory workflow, compliance-driven, very document-centric, you need to have a record type applications? And are you also in charge of driving that, or is this something that you just allow to happen and it's taking place in a different space?
Well, I guess that's been even more than two, but I try to answer them all. To your first question, that's a very interesting one. The only premise we gave when we started our space was there needs to be a business purpose, as we called it. So what we do have currently on there as well is the Swiss Re Golf Club, the Swiss Re chess club. There is a photo club on there, which we find, well, that's definitely not kind of the main business focus that we wanted to give it, but we would like to allow it as well, because there is, like, people all over the world connecting themselves with any topic. There is definitely business purpose. I mean, where we would draw the line is people starting to sell CDs on the platform or these kind of... So where we see purely the focus shifting away from there is no purpose for Swiss Re to implementing such a platform for this kind of activity, that's definitely when we would stop it. But it should be social business platform with a strong emphasis on business as well. The integration, to come to your second question, is a very important question, and that's probably kind of one of the phases that we are in the middle of currently. We have a lot of good ideas on, for example, document management systems or the intranet that we want our space to be integrated much, much closer with. And we are kind of currently pulling off new projects to do these further steps.
Okay, great. I think there are no other questions, and I know you can hear all the noise outside. So a couple logistics, recordings, and presentations will be up on jivesoftware.com and on the community by next week. So you'll be able to see Andreas's presentation or share it with your colleagues. And before you guys leave, please give a big hand to Andreas.